three things that are going to be revealed. The first one is Jesus. Jesus is revealed. That's what we're talking about right now. The second will be we are revealed. That will be you, that will be me, us. And then the third one tomorrow will be our actions, our lives are revealed. Now, the cool thing, one of the reasons why I just love the book of Revelation, does anyone know who it was written by? John, yeah. Did you know that John was probably about 16 years old, around that time, a teenager, when he walked with Jesus on earth and was walking around with him? He would have been young. He was one of the youngest disciples. When they ran to the tomb, John was younger, and so he outran Peter. He ran faster. He made it to the tomb. So picture that. Picture Jesus walking around with Jesus, being able to talk with him and be in his ministry, seeing all the miracles he did, seeing him after the resurrection, and being able just to hang out with Jesus. And then the book of Revelation was written when he was kicked out, exiled, onto an island called Patmos. Now, flip over to Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible. Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. This is John talking. He says, I, John, your brother and companion in suffering, and the kingdom and the patient endurance that is ours, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now get this. He had been persecuted. Actually, church history tells us he was thrown into a boiling pot of oil and survived. That's persecution. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine loving God so much that you're willing to be persecuted that much? And he's on this island, and look at verse 10. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud trumpet like a voice. Now, the voice sounded like a trumpet, which said, write on the scroll which you see and send to the seven churches. And verse 12, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. Now, get this. John is all alone on this island. He hears this voice coming from behind him like a trumpet, this loud voice. And, I mean, wouldn't you turn to see it? I mean, I'd look around to see what this thing is. He turns, and look what he sees. He sees Jesus revealed. He saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands, and underline this verse if you underline your Bible, was like a son of man. And that's in quotes in my Bible. He was dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool. Now picture this. He turns around, and there's this man-looking figure, but he doesn't look like a man. He looks like more than a man. He has this robe flowing down, this golden sash, and his hair is white like wool. And look what it says. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. Now, when you think of Jesus, the most people's pictures of Jesus is this kind of skinny, just weak-looking guy who wears white all the time and walks in sandals, right? When you see the movies, you see him dressed in white, he's in sandals, and he's walking around, and he has children in his arms. Yes, that's not really a good picture of Jesus. Jesus would have been a carpenter. He would have been big. He would have been, I'm telling you, he could bench a lot, probably. I mean, he probably worked out a whole lot. And yes, he still had children in his arms, but man, he was a strong guy. But that's not even that is not a real picture of Jesus revealed. This Jesus that John sees is this awesome, holy figure of God. You know, when Jesus came the first time, he came, you know, in a manger. The second time Jesus comes, he will come from the clouds and he will come ruling. The first time he came, he came riding on a donkey. Remember he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey? The second time he comes riding in on the clouds. The first time he came to be a servant, right? He washed his disciples' feet. The second time he comes, he'll come and he will be served. We will get to serve him. This Jesus is an incredible, incredible God. And that's who John sees. Write this down. There's a blank on your sheet. Your view, Your view of Jesus affects the way you live. When you look in the Scripture, every time someone saw Jesus, like they saw Him face to face, fully revealed like John did, they were impacted forever. Let me ask you a question. Have you gotten a grasp and an understanding of who Jesus really is? And that's my prayer over this next couple of hours, 23 years. Someone was counting down, I thought, however long that is. This Jesus impacts their lives. Okay, look. Let's look at this. The end of verse 14. His eyes were like blazing fire. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means it's a picture that Jesus sees everything. Think about it. Jesus knows my heart. He knows your heart. He sees the things that you see that you don't think anyone sees. When no one's around, Jesus sees those things. He knows our faults. He knows our sin, our secret sin. Man, when I was in middle school, I had so many things I wanted to hide from my parents. He knows all those things. He sees everything we do. And get this. Look at this. Look at verse 17. John turns, and when he turns, he sees him. And look at John's response. He fell at his feet as though dead. Wow. You know that song, I Can Only Imagine? You know, what we'll do when we get to heaven. Will we dance? Will we sing? Will we clap? Will we jump? Will we skip? You know, all that stuff. I can tell you what you're going to do and what I will do. When John saw Jesus face to face, he hit the ground like he was dead. He hit the floor. He couldn't take it. God was so incredible that he just hit the ground. He hit the ground. Man, if John did that, and this is the John that walked with Jesus daily, this is the John that leaned on his chest at the Last Supper, this is the John that ran to the tomb, that saw him alive, if that John hits the ground when he sees Jesus, wow, what is Sean going to do? Well, what are we going to do? This is an awesome, awesome God. An awesome God. Now, the coolest part, look at the next verse. Then he placed his right hand on me. John's saying, Jesus touched me. And he said, Jesus says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one who was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. Now get this. John is there. He's on the floor. He's just in awe of Jesus. And a lot of times when we think about the second coming, we have this fear, right? We have this fear that God's going to come in wrath and judgment. And He is. But for John, Jesus didn't reach out His hand and then throw him into hell. Jesus didn't reach His hand out and then just chastise him. No. Jesus reaches out His hand and says, do not be afraid. How is that possible? How can you and how can I get before God and be in awe of God, and Jesus reach out His hand and say, don't be afraid? It's real simple. It's so simple. Look, flip over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Look at verse 59. You say, Sean, how do I know when I get to heaven that Jesus is going to say, don't be afraid? How do I know? It all depends on your relationship and your view of Jesus. We're going to look at one of the guys in this passage of Scripture who did not know God. He didn't know Jesus. He didn't have a relationship with Him. And we're going to look at how his view changed the way he lived. When you're at Matthew 26, say, got it. Got it? Oh, that's half. All right. Got it? Oh, everyone there? All right. Look at verse 59. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. Now, for those of you who study your Bible, you know that it's Jesus' last week, and actually his last couple of hours before he's crucified. And the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees are looking for a way to put Jesus to death. And this high priest would be the religious leader of the day. He would be the head honcho. He would be the guy that is going to trial, the first trial Jesus has. And so the first blank on your sheet there is the high priest's view of Jesus determined his decisions. Decisions. Think about that. The high priest, his view of whoever Jesus is at that trial is going to determine, he thinks, Jesus' destiny, right? So if the high priest says, you know, this Jesus, I think he's lying, and I think he's a sinner, and I think he's in the wrong, then I'm going to crucify him. And I'm going to sentence him, put him to death. But if he's an okay guy, and he's all right, and I have a different view of Jesus, and he is really who he says he is, he's really God, then I'm going to let Jesus go. So his view of Jesus, who he thinks Jesus is going to determine his decision. Look at what the high priest does. Look at verse 60. They could not find any false evidence, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up. Look at this. Look what the high priest does. He stands up and he said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. Here, listen to what he said. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now, Jesus has a couple of answers he can give. He can say, yes, I'm the Christ. He could say, no, I'm not the Christ. He could say, well, maybe. Look what Jesus says. He says this. He says, it is as you say. Did you catch that? It is as you say. The high priest says, tell us who you are. And Jesus says, it is as you say. You know what the answer is? That's not really a yes. And it's not really a no. And it's not really a maybe. What it is it's a definite yes. It's not a maybe yes. It's him saying, you already know, high priest. It is as you say. You already know the answer. Have you ever been doing something wrong and you're kind of like, man, I really think this is wrong, but I'm going to go ask someone to kind of feel better about it and see if they think it's wrong? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever known something to be true? Maybe like a girl or something, or girls like a guy. Maybe you have a crush on someone, and you want to figure out for sure. You think they like you, but you're not sure. And so you get your friend, pass a note or something, and say, do you like me? Check yes or no. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? You guys do that? I did that. I better not confess that. Anyway, they knew the truth. The high priest knew the truth, but he didn't want to believe it. Did you catch that? He knew the truth, but he didn't want to believe it. What about you? What about you? Is there something in your life? Think about it. Is there something in your life that you know God wants control over? Is there a sin in your life that you know that you shouldn't be doing? Is there a sin in your life that you want to give up? Or maybe you say, Sean, if I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. And in fact, I know I wouldn't. Are you like the high priest? You know God's telling you something, and you want to justify the answer, and you want Him to say something different, but Jesus says this, it is as you say. And then look at Jesus' response. Get this. He says, but I say to you all, to all of you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man. Now, where did we see that earlier? The Son of Man. In Revelation, right? In Revelation. You will see me. And when you say that, he says, you will see me basically coming in a robe with eyes like fire, with hair like white like wool, and in power with feet of bronze. You will see me sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus says, I am the Son of God. I am returning. And guess what? I'm going to be returning and you will see me. He says, I'll show you in Revelation where he says that. Look at this. Look at the high priest's response. The high priest tore his clothes and says, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they said, he is worthy of death. And they spit on his face, they struck him with their fists, and they slapped him, and they said, prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you? The second thing that the high priest, his view determined, it did not only determine his decisions, but it determined his devotion. Do you see that? He was still so set in his ways that he still says, no, I don't believe you. I don't believe you, Jesus. So it determined his decisions, it determined his devotion, and finally it determined his destination. And that's key. Determine his destination. Flip over back to Revelation. Revelation 1. Look at Revelation 1, verse 7. At the bottom of your sheet, there's two responses. When Christ comes, there's two responses people will have. Look at Revelation 1, verse 7. When you got it, say you got it. Got it. All right, read it. It says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Now, who is that? That was the high priest, remember? The high priest condemned Jesus. He condemned him to die. And then Pilate, he went on trial before Pilate, and the Romans crucified him. Jesus says in Revelation, and John says, when Christ comes, every eye. I don't know how many eyes are here. You just take the number and you double it. That's every person. I will see Jesus come. You will see Jesus come. Every person will see Christ come. Even those who killed him. And look at the responses of those who pierced him. All peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So it shall be. Amen. The two responses. Here you are. You ready? Two responses. The first one is crying. Mourning. Weeping. When Christ comes, there will be people that will be in tears, in mourning. Why? Because they were like the high priest, and they didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And Jesus comes in clouds like the Son of Man, and he's awesome, he has judgment with him, and the people who didn't know him are mourning because of that. But the second group, look in verse 17. 1:17. When John sees him, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his hand on me and says, do not be afraid. So the first group is crying. The second group is comforted. Is comforted. Which group would you fall into? Which group? Think about it. If Christ was to come, would you say, you know, Sean, I don't have a relationship with him. I don't know him. Or would you be like the other, would you be like John and say, wow, God is coming, and I know because of His Word that He'll put His hand on me and say, peace be with you. Now let me ask you another question, then we'll be done with our session. I know there's all kinds of people here. You have people you have Christians, you have non-Christians. I've been in a Christian school long enough to know that not everyone who goes to Christian school is a Christian. But for the Christian, let me ask you this question. If Christ were to come, and Christ were to just to show up, riding on the clouds, how well would you know Him? One of the saddest things in life for a Christian, the saddest thing in life for a Christian, is for Christ to come back and we stand before the One who died for us. We stand before the One who gave everything for us. And for Him to look at us and say, yeah, I saved you, but I don't know you that well. Yeah, you're a Christian. Yeah, you're going to heaven. But I could have known you so much more. So much more. So where do you stand tonight? Are you in the first category? You would say, you know, Sean, I just don't know. I don't know where I would be. Are you in the second category that says, yeah, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Jesus is my Savior. He is my Lord. And then thirdly, if for the Christian, how well do you know God? Man, tell you what, Jesus, when you get to know Him, it's the most amazing thing in life. And I know people, you hear that all the time probably in Christian school, but it's true. It's really true. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray with every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This is just between you and God. No one looking around. Everyone has their eyes closed. Ask God. Say, God, where do I stand with you? where do I stand with you? And with no one looking around, if you would say, Sean, I just don't know. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm not going to make you stand, sign a card, not anything like that. Just I want to pray for you. If you would say, Sean, you know, I just don't know if I know Jesus or not. Could you just slip up your hand and just say, yeah, I don't know for sure. Hold up high so I can see him. No one's looking around at me. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. And maybe you're the Christian here. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're the Christian here. And you say, you know, Sean, I just don't know Jesus that well. But I want to know him more than any. I want to know him more than anyone. I want to know him deeply. If that's your heart and you say, I want to know Jesus more than anything, could you just hold up your hand? All right, you can put him down. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you raise your hand, you said, you know, Sean, I just don't know. I just don't know. Tell God that right now. Say, Jesus, I don't know where I'd go if I died. But I want to trust you. I know you died for me. I know you love me. And I know that you rose from the dead. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. God, I want to be like John. I want to walk with you. I want to follow you. Come into my life and save me. Dear Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for every child, every middle schooler, children, they're just growing in you, God. I thank you so much for every student here, Lord. I ask that you would speak to their hearts even more as we go throughout the night, Lord. And that they would just ask questions with their counselors, that they would talk to you. Lord, I thank you for their honesty. Lord, I pray for the ones who really meant that in their heart, that really prayed and really wanted to trust you. Lord, I pray that they would tell someone about it. They would be honest, Lord. And I pray for the other ones, the Christians here who have trusted Christ, that they would have that void filled, that they would fall in love with you even more than they ever have in their entire life, Jesus. I thank you so much for your Son and everything that you've done for us, God. I pray this in your name. Amen.